Hare Krishna. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we have been introduced to so many Mahajanas. Mahajana means great personality. Generally, there are 12 cited as great devotional authorities, namely Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishma, Balaya Vyasakya, Vayam. Vayam in this, Vayam means we. This is spoken by Yamaraj. So the 12th is Yamaraj. But all great devotees, Mahajan, Mahatma, Mahapurush, Mahabhagavat, they're all great personalities. But particularly these 12 are cited as great authorities. And they all have transcendental qualities, as stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sarva maha guna gana vaishnava sharire krishna bhakti krishna gun shakali sanchare. A Vaishnava, this is Srila Prabhupada's translation, a Vaishnava is one who has developed all good transcendental qualities, all the good qualities of Krishna, gradually developing Krishna's devotee. This is a Bengali paraphrase of the first two lines of a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which goes as follows: Yasyasti bhakti bhavati kinchana sarvari gunais tatra surasate suraha harava bhaktasya kato mahan guna manorete nasati dhavato bahihi. In one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. And when we see the personalities of Vaishnavas, we are astonished that such great personalities can exist. They live in this world, but not of this world. Padma Patra Mivambasa, Lord Krishna gives the example of a lotus leaf is in the water, but above the water at the same time. And even if some water drops on the lotus leaf, it will soon fall off. And Srila Prabhupada, he's the representative of all the previous acharyas. Sarva Deva Mayo Guruhu, all the great personalities are present in the person of the Guru because he speaks and acts in accord with all that the great acharyas have spoken before. At the same time, although all the great acharyas, all the great devotees are decorated with all transcendental qualities, they manifest them in different ways. They're different personalities. So now I'd just like to briefly discuss some of the qualities of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, which are similar to those seen in each individual of the 12 Mahajans. The first mentioned in the verse by Yamaraj is Swayambhu, self-born, literally means self-born. Means he didn't have any material mother or father. And a comparison with Srila Prabhupada is quite easy to draw, what would you think? Brahma is famous as? The giver of the Vedas. Okay, well, that's good, yeah. But I was thinking of his. Who was going to say? Someone's going to say something? Founder of a sampradaya. I was going to say he's famous as the creator. You see, there are so many comparisons could be drawn. So he created. There was no creation. There was the possibility. The ingredients had been given by Krishna. And Krishna gave him the intelligence. After he went through many austerities, he was given the intelligence to create the whole universe. And Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the purpose of Brahma's creation by founding the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He is the creator, so to speak. Just like we speak of the universe as Brahmanda, Brahma's egg. Literally, anda means egg. So the universe is egg-shaped. And within it, everything is the creation of Brahma. So within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we must think of Srila Prabhupada as the founder Acharya. And you may say that everything, just like everything in the universe, we can connect to Brahma, so everything within ISKCON we can connect to Srila Prabhupada. And we may say, well, there are so many bad things in the universe. Is it Brahma's fault? No. There are so many untoward things within ISKCON. Is it Srila Prabhupada's fault? No. Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the purpose of Brahma's creation. Of course, to create a whole universe, in one sense, is a much bigger achievement than founding a society already more than halfway through Brahma's life in a tiny little speck of his creation. But it fulfills the purpose of his creation, because what's the point unless there's an opportunity for the conditioned souls to hear and chant about Krishna and serve Krishna and become Krishna conscious? Then why would Brahma go to all that trouble just to facilitate people engaging in activities which cause them to get born and die again and again and again? So Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the purpose of Brahma's creation by creating the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, having undergone many difficulties and austerities prior to that. And as with Brahma, being inspired by Krishna as to what to do. The formula was already there. How to create a universe. The formula is given by Krishna again and again and again. There's a certain way to do it. But at the same time, he inspires the various Brahmas how to do it. So in the same way, the basic formula was there, given by Rupa Goswami and the previous Acharyas. At the same time, it's not anyone who could do it. There's only one Brahma in the universe. He's an extraordinarily pious, empowered, living being. It's not everyone can be Brahma. Well, theoretically, everyone can be. Every living being can be. But it takes especially empowered person getting unique powers from Krishna to be able to create the universe. So similarly, it's unique, Srila Prabhupada is uniquely empowered to found this society and to spread it. When Brahma created the universe, he filled it up. It wasn't a It wasn't just click your fingers and it's over. It was an ongoing process. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, he founded this society and he kept on nurturing it and expanding it, overseeing it. So in this way, he can be compared to Brahma. Brahma, someone mentioned, he's the head of the Sampradaya, and Srila Prabhupada continued the Sampradaya. Of course, his godbrothers were also doing, but Srila Prabhupada did it, again, a unique and unprecedented way. He not only continued the Sampradaya, but enhanced it exponentially. Srila Prabhupada is the representative of Lord Brahma, especially empowered to create a Vaishnava society where there was none. Brahma created the universal situation where there was none. Srila Prabhupada created a society of Vaishnavas. The whole universe, the creation of Brahma, is meant to give the conditioned souls an opportunity to develop Krishna consciousness. That's in a general way. And Srila Prabhupada, by founding ISKCON, did so in a specific way. At the beginning of the creation, Lord Brahma prayed, "May the Supreme Lord be merciful toward me so that I, as before, may be empowered with the introspection to create, for I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord." So with the same spirit of humility, knowing that Krishna is the one who does everything, simply wanting to be an instrument of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada prayed as he arrived in the United States of America. He prayed to Krishna, "Make me a puppet in your hands so that I may be able to perform this task." He prayed for this, just like Brahma prayed. We have that chapter in the third canto of Bhagavatam, which is titled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. Brahma prayed for empowerment to Krishna so that he could create the universe. So similarly, when Srila Prabhupada arrived in Boston Harbor in 1965, he prayed, prayed to Krishna, "Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life." Narad Muni, Swayambhu, Narada, second is mentioned, Narada. Narada means who gives, Narayana. Narad Muni, from time immemorial, has been on a preaching mission all over the universe. He is the guru of many great personalities and the guru of some very fallen personalities who, it seems, there's this long, long way from being delivered from material existence, a long, long way from Krishna. We think of Mrigari the hunter, very sinful. Narad Muni made him into a pure devotee, a snake. Narad Muni delivered him, made him a Vaishnava. Valmiki, who was so empowered to reveal the Ramayana, he was formerly a dacoit. The story is there. Narad Muni goes all over the universe singing the glories of the Lord. Narad Muni, Bhajai Veena. He playing his musical instrument, Radhika Ramana Name. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada introduced the Sankirtan movement. There's so many styles of music. Srila Prabhupada introduced another style of music, which is actually the style that is in the glorification of the Supreme Lord. Music is meant for glorification of the Supreme Lord. That is the style of the greatest personalities in the universe. And of course, before Srila Prabhupada came to the West, there was glorification of the Supreme Lord by music. Nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada introduced something unique, not just music, but music, mantras said to music, which links us directly with the Supreme Lord, which was very attractive. This Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names, has and continues to attract so many people to devotional service. So Narad Muni does that on a universal scale. He goes everywhere. And Srila Prabhupada did it at the heart of the universe, in as much as this earth planet is the most important planet in the universe for the sake of spiritual realization, being neither so heavenly that it bewilders the inhabitants, nor so hellish that the inhabitants they're in so much pain they can't think of any spiritual advancement. And of course, above the heavenly planets there are the worlds of the great rishis. But the earth planet is special because the human form of life here provides a very good opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. So what Narad Muni does, on a universal scale, Srila Prabhupada is doing in the most important place in the universe. And of course, Narad Muni, as I was saying, Brahma is the head of the Sampradaya and Srila Prabhupada is his representative. So Narad Muni comes second in our Sampradaya's disciplic succession. And Srila Prabhupada is his great representative. As an acharya, Srila Prabhupada was concerned with bringing the conditioned souls back to Godhead, exactly in the spirit of Narad Muni. Narad Muni, he delivered one ferocious hunter. Srila Prabhupada delivered thousands of very sinful people and cleanse their hearts. People are just performing sinful activities as Mrigari did without even knowing they're sinful or thinking they're sinful. No understanding of this. Srila Prabhupada, just like Narad Muni purified Mrigari, so Srila Prabhupada awakened Krishna consciousness in the hearts of many people who were sinful to the core. They were more sinful than the hunter, because the hunter was only broke one principle, but the people that Srila Prabhupada delivered were breaking all that. They didn't even know there were principles. Not as Mrigari didn't know. In the culture that Srila Prabhupada operated in was going on something which was unimaginable even to such a sinful person as Mrigari. The massive slaughter of babies in the womb organized slaughterhouses for animals. Unfortunately, highly materialistic people, they do not recognize the greatness of great saints. We know in the case of Daksha that when Narada Muni took away his sons, Daksha had sons called the Haryashvas, and then he sent them off to perform austerities so that they could become good Prajapatis like himself, or good householders for creating progeny. But Narada thought, well, these are nice young men, very pious, performing austerities. Why don't I go and tell them to direct their austerities, the result of that, to Krishna and make them Krishna conscious? Then they can go back to Godhead. So he did that. And then again, Daksha begot a whole set of sons, Shavalashvas. And again, Narada preached to them, diverted them from their father's purpose, and sent them all back to Godhead. At that point, Daksha cursed Narada to have no fixed residence. For a householder, this would be a terrible curse, but Narada Muni took it very happily. He's always traveling here and there for preaching. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada said that he had inherited by disciplic succession the curse of Narada, that his disciples' parents had cursed him so that he couldn't stay in any one place very long. And that's very good for a preacher, because he goes here and there, gives his message to many people in many places. It's also good for a transcendentalist or an aspiring transcendentalist to have no fixed residence. Aniketa, one of the descriptions Lord Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita of a saintly person. He has no residence to become attached to accumulate things within. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, he said, I have so many palaces all over the world, but I can't stay in any of them. He has to keep on moving. And he was very happy to do so. There's a very different spirit of Narada compared to Daksha. This curse for a preacher of Krishna consciousness is like a boon. Srila Prabhupada said that he wrote in that purport where he says, the parents of my disciples have cursed me, so I have to keep on moving. But he said, now I want to transfer this curse to my young disciples, especially the sannyasis, so that I can sit and translate Srimad Bhagavatam. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu, Lord Shiva. Daksha was fond of cursing and didn't have very good discrimination about who to respect and who not to respect. Of course, Vaishnav culture is to respect everyone, but Daksha had a different outlook, which caused him a lot of trouble. He cursed Narada Muni, and he behaved very insolently toward Lord Shiva in front of all the principal demigods. But Lord Shiva remained calm, undisturbed, and simply he continued his meditation on Vishnu He's a great Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he was maligned and opposed by so many great personalities. Maharaj Daksha was a great personality, a very important person within the universe. So many persons, great and small, maligned Srila Prabhupada. They misunderstood and thought he was doing something very wrong. In America, there was a big court case against the Hare Krishna movement as being a brainwashing movement. In India, Srila Prabhupada received opposition from the government, from the Bombay municipality, where Srila Prabhupada wanted to build a temple in Bombay. He received so much opposition from his godbrothers. Many of his godbrothers were critical of what Srila Prabhupada was doing. Smartha Brahmanas in general. But Srila Prabhupada, like Lord Shiva, remained fixed in what he was doing, undisturbed. Aniketa stiramatihi. That Aniketa was just mentioned, not having any home. But although he's not fixed in any one place, his consciousness is fixed in Krishna. Lord Shiva is extremely wealthy, being the husband of the Adhishtatrini, the overseer of the material energy, his wife. But he doesn't have any motive to enjoy the material energy. Who could be the greatest enjoyer? Lord Shiva. His wife is the mother of all enjoyment, literally. But Lord Shiva, he is not interested in any material enjoyment. He lives in Krishna, always meditating on Krishna. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada was the founder of an international movement which in course of time acquired great wealth, but Srila Prabhupada preferred to live simply. He didn't use any of the income for his own sense gratification. Both Lord Shiva and Srila Prabhupada pick up the very fallen class of living beings. Lord Shiva is known as Bhutanath, the Lord of the Ghosts, because only he can give shelter to such persons. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he ministered to very fallen people who no one else would consider going anywhere near, and no other Vaishnava of his generation had any idea that such people could take to Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, like Lord Shiva, very mercifully delivered very fallen people. And Srila Prabhupada, he picked people up from the mode of ignorance, which is overseen by Lord Shiva, and place them in Shuddha Sattva, the position of transcendence. Next is Kumara, the four Kumaras, who are timeless. They, although being so old, they appear as young boys. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't look like a young boy, but his whole outlook, his whole personality was always youthful and fresh and definitely very effulgent. The four Kumaras were not, they didn't grow old. They were very wise, but they looked like little children. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, although the most wise, had also a sense of almost childish, childlike, that's a better word, childlike simplicity. Simplicity of heart. Just like a child is very innocent. So Srila Prabhupada, although on one platform is very worldly wise, but he was very innocent in as much as, like a child, he had no motive to exploit others. Very innocent and pleasing personality. And again, just like persons in materialistic consciousness, they cannot understand the greatness of a great saint like Narad Muni. They reject Lord Shiva because he appears to be tamasic. He appears to be not within the pale of civilized society. So similarly, the four Kumaras, they're misunderstood by Jayan Vijay. They're misunderstood to be children with no qualification to enter Vaikuntha. So Srila Prabhupada was very much misunderstood by materialistic people. Although Srila Prabhupada had an almost childlike simplicity about him. He was also the most wise, the most knowledgeable, as are the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras, they didn't want to get married so that they could concentrate fully on Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was already married when he met his spiritual master, but on the order of his spiritual master, he became a renunciant for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. The four Kumaras are known for breaking the order of their guru, who ordered them to marry and procreate. They're not blamed for that. But Srila Prabhupada is, and this is not like the four Kumaras, but in comparison to them, he's very famous for having followed the order of his guru and taken Krishna consciousness all over the world. Kumara Kapila. Lord Kapila spoke transcendental knowledge in great detail, examining the position of this material world and finding that within this material world there is the soul and the supreme soul. Srila Prabhupada also gave an extensive series of talks on the teachings of Lord Kapila, which was eventually edited and published as a book under the same name. So Lord Kapila spoke very deep and sometimes difficult to understand philosophy. But he also spoke in, he also gave descriptions, very beautiful descriptions of the Supreme Lord and of the process of devotional service, the nature of pure devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada also, he, in the course of his teaching Krishna consciousness, he explained the nature of this world and very beautifully described Krishna. Then Manu gave the law books for mankind. Srila Prabhupada often described Manu Sanghita as the law book for mankind. He gave books that are meant to guide human society throughout the ages. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada said that my books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. They set the tenor for how we should live and act in Krishna consciousness. As Manu's contribution has survived the ages because it is of the nature of facticity. It's not some imagined novel, but it's vital information and guidance for all of human society. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada's books transcend time. The teachings given in them are meant for all places, all times, all circumstances. Srila Prabhupada gave them within a certain time frame, within the history of this earth, but they are meant to be followed, or can be followed, by everyone, everywhere, at all times, the universal scriptures. So Manu gave descriptions or ordinances for how to live in this world, having at the beginning of his work established the supremacy of Narayana. Manu goes on to give ordinances for living in this material world. So Srila Prabhupada, stressing very much on the supremacy of the Supreme Lord in his own writings, Srila Prabhupada's writings, he also gave so many guidelines on how to live in this world in Krishna consciousness. Then Prahlad Maharaj, Swayambhu Narada Shambhu, Kumara Kapila Manu, Prahlada. Next is Prahlad. Prahlad is famous for remembering the Supreme Lord amid the greatest difficulties. He didn't complain about his difficulties. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada underwent much difficulty in Krishna's service. We can't imagine what it's like coming in old age with no cultural reference into a completely different society where people speak a language that you know, but not the same accent and intonation, so that most people couldn't understand what Srila Prabhupada was saying. It was difficult for them to understand. Srila Prabhupada took so many difficulties. We've heard it so many times, it's almost as if we don't even think about it anymore. But he accepted, voluntarily accepted so many difficulties for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. Prahlad was unconcerned about the danger he faced by speaking straightforwardly to Hiranyakashipu about the nature of this material world and attachment to it. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he spoke unreservedly about the foolishness and ignorance of this misdirected material civilization, thus inviting danger upon himself. He commented once that, "I'm surprised they let me go on." He made books, he called them brainwash books, which the message in the books, materialists don't like them. And again, in India, Srila Prabhupada has to face so many difficulties, but he remained like Prahlad, unwavered in the face of difficulties and committed to go on serving Krishna. He didn't waver for a second. He kept up his enthusiasm, his commitment, despite all difficulties and harassment. In his family life, his family members were obstacles to his being Krishna conscious. And later, as he spread the movement more and more, there was so much opposition. But he remained steady and Prahlad. Prahlad means very happy. So Srila Prabhupada remained very happy in remembering Krishna. Prahlad also prayed to Nrsimhadev that, don't offer me material desires. Don't offer me the fulfillment of material desires, but just make me your servant. So we can see that was very much Srila Prabhupada's mood, that he didn't do what he did for any material motive whatsoever. He simply wanted to please Krishna without any thought of personal material benefit. As Prahlad was interested in the uplift of all fallen conditioned souls, so Srila Prabhupada practically engaged himself in the mercy mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. Janak Maharaj was an ideal example of someone living and working in the world, at the same time fixing his consciousness on the Supreme. Srila Prabhupada in his family life was in the same situation. He was a responsible householder, but at the same time, fully Krishna conscious. Janak Maharaj is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. He's mentioned by Lord Krishna as an example of someone who is fully self-realized while being within this material world. So Srila Prabhupada also demonstrated that. Also, Janak Maharaj brought from the earth the most valuable treasure of a beautiful daughter who he named Sita. So Srila Prabhupada, he went among the dirt and filth of New York City and he brought forth great personalities who others didn't recognize had that potential to be great devotees. So Srila Prabhupada did that, just like Janak Maharaj. He was presented by Krishna with a beautiful daughter who he nourished very lovingly. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada found him in the literal dirt of the streets of New York City, and also the metaphoric dirt of all the sinfulness around him. But out of that, Srila Prabhupada, he brought forth transcendental personalities, just like Janak Maharaj brought forth the great personality, transcendental personality. He brought Sita from the material world, the dirty place of the material world. Pallado Janako Bhishma. He fought fiercely against Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada also, he fought fiercely. Sometimes the analogies, they don't always go completely. He was known as Grandfather Bhishma. Srila Prabhupada was like grandfather to his disciples. By the age difference, he behaved very affectionately to them, very sternly to them. He taught them, just like Bhishma, he arranged for the instruction of the Pandava and Kuru princes. Just as Bhishma had said, he spoke on many thousands of topics. So Srila Prabhupada, he spoke on a wide variety of topics. Like Bhishma always brought to the central point, which is Krishna. Bhishma, even in his old age, was very powerful. Very powerful warrior. So Srila Prabhupada, even in his apparent old age, was a very powerful devotee. And even physically, it surprised his disciples how he kept on working so hard, traveling, sleeping very lightly, engaging with so many people. He would deal with all kinds of people, from government officials and prominent intellectuals to illiterate Bengali villagers and everything in between. So he demonstrated that transcendental prowess, as Bhishma exhibited extraordinary prowess in fighting. Bhishma, just before he passed away, lying on a bed of arrows, he spoke transcendental knowledge. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, in the last few weeks before his passing from this world, exhibited the pastime of sickness, but he kept on speaking Krishna consciousness, even in that condition. And there's a recording of Srila Prabhupada dictating his Bhagavatam purport to the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. So Srila Prabhupada was very enthusiastic to impart transcendental knowledge, even in an incapacitated situation, as did Bhishma. Bhishma passed away gloriously, surrounded by great devotees and fighters. Lord Krishna was also personally there. So Srila Prabhupada passed away gloriously in Vrindavan, surrounded by disciples, loudly and very feelingly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Just like Bhishma departed this world in the presence of Krishna, seeing Krishna in his four-handed form, Krishna's four-handed form. So Srila Prabhupada, he departed this world in the presence of Krishna in Vrindavan, which is Krishna, 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 and Krishna. And also in the presence of his disciples and others, loudly chanting the holy name of Krishna, the Maha Mantra. And Bali Maharaj surrendered everything. He's famous for surrendering everything. He became known as a great devotee. So Srila Prabhupada, he exemplified that spirit of, again, he had so much opulence as the Acharya of ISKCON. But he gave it all to Krishna. He didn't keep anything for his own personal sense gratification, and set the ideal example by doing so. Shukadev Goswami was the son of a great Vaishnava, Srila Vyasadeva, and Srila Prabhupada was the spiritual son of a great spiritual father, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. By the mercy of Vyasadeva, Shukadeva spoke the Bhagavatam in an unprecedented way. Similarly, by the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada spoke the Bhagavatam and made it available in a non-Indian language. The concepts which were wholly unknown to Western people, Srila Prabhupada made them clear and understandable. Just like Shukadev, he took the message from Vyasadeva and made it even more palatable for people in general, especially for the people who were sitting there in the company of Parikshit Maharaj. In Bhagavatam it stated that this Bhagavatam will bring about a revolution in the misdirected lives of a sinful population. And definitely Srila Prabhupada's whole mission, everything he did was a fulfillment of that prophecy in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam to Parikshit, but for the benefit of all the fallen and conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. And Srila Prabhupada brought that message to the very fallen conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. Yamaraj took the form of Vidura and preached Krishna consciousness and assisted the devotees, the Pandavas. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, being very eager to preach, he left his position in the spiritual world. He described that Krishna had ordered him to go to earth to preach Krishna consciousness. So just like for Yamaraj, it might have seemed like a fall down, but actually to take the form of Vidura, but actually he became most glorious, even more glorified by doing so. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada became all the more glorified for having done what Lord Chaitanya had predicted, but which no one had any idea could actually become fulfilled. Srila Prabhupada, he preached Krishna consciousness everywhere. Even though Vidura was scorned by some, for being apparently of a lower birth. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada had to accept so much scorn, but he went on fulfilling the message of the acharyas by preaching Krishna consciousness. So Yamaraj was actually very happy to have that opportunity to preach as Vidura. So Srila Prabhupada, he was always very happy to preach Krishna consciousness. So that's the summary of Srila Prabhupada in relation to the 12 Mahajans. In one book called Jai Srila Prabhupada, I wrote extensively giving short comparisons of Srila Prabhupada to so many great personalities, great Vaishnavas, whose qualities Srila Prabhupada exemplified. So let us always think of the great personalities, how Srila Prabhupada is the representative of all those great personalities. He represents the whole Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda, the unlimited numbers of Vaishnavas, as a messenger from the spiritual world. He embodies and exemplifies the great Vaishnava qualities of all Vaishnava acharyas who have appeared before us. And certainly it is quite proper to address him as Mahajana, great personality, Mahatma. Same word, same meaning, Mahatmanastu mang partha, daivin prakriti mashritaha, bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. Those who are not bewildered, those who are actually great souls, the great souls, they take shelter of the internal potency of Krishna, who takes charge of their life, and in this way they are delivered to Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada is certainly a Mahatma who is further explained in Bhagavad Gita as Satatam Kirtiyanto Mang Yatantas Chajuravrataha Namaschantas Chamang Bhaktya Nitya Yukta Pasati. Always engaged in singing Krishna's glories, this description certainly fits Srila Prabhupada. Always engaged in Krishna's service. So we see a consistency. It's not that, although of course there are many differences between Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas in terms of dress, mode of spreading Krishna consciousness. Necessarily there were many differences because the whole era was very different to what it used to be. But nevertheless, it's the same message, unchanged over eons, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We all have to surrender to him as a humble servant of the 12 Mahajans and all the previous acharyas. The great personality, Srila Prabhupada, very mercifully taught Krishna consciousness to us. So I'll finish that talk.